Well, our Bible reading today was from Luke chapter 2. And today, being Christmas Day, there will be around the world about 2 billion people remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus. And when you think of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, he stands out from all humanity as a absolutely unique person. Dr. James Francis said of Jesus, "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village, where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book, he never held an office, he never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never travelled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when public opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. When he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. Some 2,000 years later, he today remains the central figure of the human race, the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the monarchs that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life, the life of Jesus Christ." I just want to give you a few reasons this morning why the life of Jesus Christ was so unique. Firstly, in Jesus we have the presence of God. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And in Jesus we have God with us. When people saw the face of Jesus, they saw the face of God. When people heard the words of Jesus, they heard the words of God. When people had witnessed the compassion of Jesus, they were witnessing the compassion of God. When people saw Jesus being persecuted and mocked, people were seeing God being persecuted and mocked. When people outside the city of Jerusalem saw the only perfect man that has ever lived nailed to the cross, they were viewing God on the cross, God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not just a figure of history, Jesus is the God of history. When John wrote his gospel, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And later on in his gospel, John revealed who the Word was, and the Word was Jesus. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, "For it is pleased the Father that in him," that's in Jesus, "should all fullness dwell." The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not only God, but Jesus Christ is the Creator God. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Every single human being owes their existence to Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the presence of God. In Jesus Christ, we have the purposes of God. God sent Jesus to reveal his face, and God sent Jesus to redeem the world. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Right at the right time, Jesus came. There was a religious preparation, there was a cultural preparation, and there was a political preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And at the right time, Jesus came into history, and he came to redeem us. And the Bible reveals that all of us need redemption. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." All of us are lawbreakers before God. We are unholy and God is holy. And that's why we need redemption. What is redemption? The definition is it is freedom achieved by paying a price. The Lord Jesus sets us free from the penalty and power of sin by paying the price for us when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Andy read the reading to us from Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to the outcasts of society, the shepherds, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." All of us have sinned, and all of us need a Saviour, and that's why the Lord Jesus came. The other day, I was reminded that I was a lawbreaker. I was at the office of the RTA, and I pulled my car up outside there and went to the parking meter, and the coins were jammed. I couldn't get my coins in there, so I crossed the road, went to the other parking meter on the other side, and it said, "This parking meter is out of order." And it basically described that you are responsible to find another parking meter to pay for the ticket for your car. I went back to the one that rejected my coins and I tried a credit card, and it allowed me to pay my parking fee. I went into the RTA, and there is a man, it appears now, that is employed in the RTA just to spray and wipe where people have been. So if you go up to the counter and you talk to the person there, as soon as you leave, this little man comes along with his cloth and his spray bottle and polishes where you are so the next person can come in. He's fully aware of the coronavirus and how contagious it is. Anyway, I go up to the counter eventually. I had an eye test and one of my eyes failed the test. And so I've got on my back of my license now that I cannot drive a truck unless I'm wearing glasses. They'll let me drive a car, but I can't drive semis anymore unless I have glasses. Well, so I do the eye test, and then I've got to go to the next counter. And I go to the next counter, and then the man starts to conduct the eye test again. And I said, "I've already done, the guy's already given me an eye test," so he skipped that part. And then Judy had reminded me that I could get a discount if I was a good driver. And it's actually 50%. And so I asked the guy at the counter, "Can I get the discounts?" And he looked up my record and he said that I was eligible for that discount. But I asked him, I said, "I got a fine a few years ago. Is it still on my record?" And he said, "I'll look it up." So he looked up my record and he found that in 1991... Now that's my 30-year anniversary comes up next year of my speeding fine, shame to say. But 29 years ago, 1991, I was booked. Judy was by my side, and we were out near Rudy Hill, and I'd just been to a Bible college lecture, and I was so thrilled with what I heard, and I was discussing with Judy on the way home that I would put the pedal to the metal too much, and I saw these blue lights, and they pulled me over and gave me a talking to and a major fine and a loss of 3 points. Now, what's interesting is that the RTA still hold the fact that I have an offence. They have not fully wiped away my records. And I'll be reminded of that next year when the 30th anniversary comes up. But I've got to say, I haven't sped since then. I learnt my lesson 29 years ago. But if the RTA holds a record against me, and I'm guessing that that record will stay on the computers until the day I die. If man holds records of us breaking the law, do you think that God holds records against us? If man is capable of holding the record of an offence almost 30 years ago, is God capable of knowing the offences that we have done? And the answer is absolutely yes. But the good news of Christmas is that God came in the person of the Lord Jesus, and he came as the saviour of the world. He came to remove our transgressions. He came to remove the consequences of our law breaking as he came as the saviour. When you read the book of Revelation, you will find that one day people are going to line up that have rejected the Lord Jesus, and books are going to be opened, and they're going to have the record of their sins that they are going to have to pay for. Let me read you Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. God keeps a record. Every person that has rejected Jesus as their saviour, the record stands. And one day the books will be opened and they will be judged according to their works, according to their record. But the great news of Christmas is that we can have our record wiped away. The psalmist wrote this: as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Paul wrote, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Isaiah wrote, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Apostle John wrote, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The great news of Christmas is that there was a Saviour that came to die for our sins, for our law-breaking, for all our transgressions, and the Saviour will wipe away all our sins, and we can stand before God cleansed, pardoned, clean, record wiped away, if we trust Jesus as Saviour. In Jesus we have the presence of God. In Jesus, we have the purpose of God, and that's to redeem humanity He paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." One final thing about the uniqueness of Jesus is that in Jesus we have the prophecies of God. Jesus Christ fulfilled prophecy. Jesus' birth was foretold in the Bible, and he fulfilled it in his birth in the exact place when he was born. He fulfilled prophecy, born at Bethlehem, born of a virgin. When Jesus died for our sins on the cross, it was prophesied that he was going to go to the cross. Isaiah 53, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus fulfilled prophecy, and also Jesus foretold prophecy. When Jesus was on this earth, he told the future. He told the fact that he was going to be betrayed. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Jesus foretold his death. Jesus foretold the fact that he would rise again, and Jesus rose again. Not only did Jesus foretell things about his life, but he foretold things about the future of this world. Jesus got John to write down the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ reveals himself, and he reveals the future of this world. And John wrote down that book. And when you read the book of Revelation, and I'd encourage you in the days that we live in to read the book of Revelation, because Revelation prophesies, and this is Jesus prophesying, he prophesies that there's going to be a one world government, there's going to be a one world ruler, and there's going to be a one world identification system. This Christmas, it's never been closer than any other Christmas that I've preached at, any other Christmas service. We can see that governments around the world are using the coronavirus to bring more control on populations. Remote islands are now being controlled by governments. We are being controlled by those in world government situations. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks about the one world government, the one world ruler, the one world identification system. And the book of Revelation shows us that the one world ruler to come will come to a world that is in turmoil. And that time of turmoil is called the tribulation period in the Bible. The one world ruler comes as a peacemaker in a world that is in chaos. A one world leader is going to appear on the screen, on the scene, I should say. He will appear on the screen as well, I'm sure. He'll appear on the scene as a great peacemaker. I believe that the present coronavirus is being used for globalist control of every country on this earth. I believe it's being used to bring financial chaos, physical chaos, and there's even spiritual chaos that is happening to the nations of the earth as people turn to other places apart from the Bible to get truth. When Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, he accurately foretold the future. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 7, "The nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." The virus is, I believe, being used in our world for the one world government to push their agenda. But the good news is that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to bring us hope beyond this world. And in the world of turmoil that we see now, we can have a future if we've trusted Jesus as Saviour. In Jesus we have the presence of God. In Jesus we have the purposes of God to redeem humanity. And in Jesus we have the prophecies of God. Just as Jesus, his death was foretold, just as his resurrection was foretold, Jesus, the Bible says, is going to come again. And that is what the Bible tells us. And when Jesus comes, will he be your Saviour or your judge? When Jesus comes, will you have to give an account for all your law breaking? Or will you know that Jesus indeed is your Saviour? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that in Jesus we have the presence of God. In Jesus we have the purposes of God, that is to reveal himself as God to man and to redeem humanity of their sins. And we thank you that in Jesus we have the prophecies of God, that God became flesh and that God himself reveals the future in the person of the Lord Jesus. So I pray, Father, for anyone here this morning that doesn't know the forgiveness that they can have in Jesus, that this day they might trust Jesus as their Saviour, who shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.